Welcome back to Uprising. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. Multiple Emmy award-winning Showtime drama Homeland has plenty of cheerleaders, but it also has serious critics who say the show is simply racist against Arabs. In fact, two Arabic graphic artists were so moved to speak out that they recently carried out a subversive act that made headlines. Hired to draw pro-Assad graffiti on the set of what was to depict a Syrian refugee camp, artist Heba Amin and her crew painted the words "Homeland is racist" and other slogans on the set of the show unbeknownst to the production supervisors. They then released a statement online explaining their actions in great detail. Another network has attempted to depict South Asian and Muslim characters in a new show that is making waves. ABC's show Quantico features a Bollywood superstar as its lead, a first for any network. Priyanka Chopra, who has a massive following in India, plays the role of Alex Parrish, an FBI agent. But does ABC also, like Showtime, get it wrong? Joining me to help answer that is Stephanie Abraham. She's an Arab-American essayist, blogger, and cultural critic. Her writings have appeared in Bitch magazine, Role Reboot, and the Arab-American journal Mizna, as well as the anthologies Nobody Passes, Rejecting the Rules of Gender and Conformity, and We Don't Need Another Wave, Dispatches from the Next Generation of Feminists. She now joins me in studio. Welcome to Uprising, Stephanie.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
So the Homeland controversy was really interesting because it brought to light what many critics of this Showtime drama have been saying for years. But it was a way that in a way it was the show saying it itself because of this very creative, what some people called culture jamming action by these Arabic graffiti artists who planted a subversive method, a subversive message into the show itself. How important was it that we saw the idea or are confronted with the fact that Homeland is racist from Arabs themselves in Arabic?
Yeah, I think it was just such a beautiful moment. And you know, Heba Amin was an Egyptian graffiti artist. She's also an academic. And she kind of led this fight. A local Berlin artist contacted her after contacting several other artists who rejected it. They said, no, I don't agree with Homeland or its politics. I don't want to be part of it. And that was her initial response, too. And then she said, wait a second. This could be a really subversive moment and a moment to get out a different kind of message. And so they did that. And what's interesting, I think, is it aired on Sunday. They put an artist statement out on Wednesday, and it kind of hit the press on Thursday. So had they not had that critical discussion of what, you know, they're really trying to open the dialogue, I'm not sure. I think it would have gone unnoticed. One critic out there said, you know, they just took the Arabic writing on the wall as like squiggly writing and not really noticing that it means things to people, you know? I mean, that's what Orientalism does, and these stories do. It's like really the story of Claire Danes and this blonde American kind of using the Middle East as their playground, which is what U.S. imperialism does. And these graffiti artists said, no, you need to notice the playground. We matter.
So seeing the setting as simply a prop, as a palette for the Hollywood story, right? I mean, what's very specific about Homeland is that it puts forth a notion that underscores the U.S. government's approach to the Middle East, the Arab and Muslim world. How do you summarize that, say, for somebody like me who has never actually watched the show? I did, in preparation for this, watch some clips online, but it was one of those shows that I've just felt like, I really don't want to watch this. I've heard so many bad things about it. But does it really put forward or boost the U.S.'s war ideology post 9/11?
I mean, I think it does. It really glamorizes you know, our foreign policy and our military footprint, which is, you know, more than problematic. And it really is such an example of Orientalism, which kind of imagines the West as powerful and domineering and strategic, and the so-called space called the Orient as soft and passive and exotic and backwards. And so, you know, last year, the Washington Post published a piece that called Homeland the most racist series on television. And last year they were in Pakistan. And they named, you know, the the most evil terrorist the actual name of the U.S.-Pakistan ambassador. So it's very, very lazy representations of Middle Easterners, of South Asians, of, Muslims. And what's interesting is Evelyn Al-Sultani is an Arab-American media scholar. And she says that, you know, after 9/11, we've seen a surge of obviously super racist representations in television. But there's also like the good apple. And so there's like the good Arab, you know, and they're using this. So producers and writers are using this to not be attacked as, using stereotypes or being racist. So they'll have, for example, usually ends up being a victim of a hate crime. Or a very patriotic, you know, like a good apple policeman or policewoman. But really, like, so the people who exist in this space called the Orient are oppressed Muslim women who have no voice or scary men who, are terrorists.
And so this idea of the good Arab, I'm glad you brought that up because that is an attempt to undermine the real people who exist in this country who might be good people, but very critical of U.S. policy, of U.S. racism. But Hollywood doesn't acknowledge those people even exist.
No, absolutely. I mean, my favorite slogan that the graffiti artists put up, people have been repeating, you know, Homeland is racist. A couple outlets actually acknowledged that they said they had hashtag Black Lives Matter, which is really beautiful. But my favorite one was 1001 Calamities, which I feel like is such a beautiful expression of the original Orientalism, which was 1001 Nights, which were these, you know, fireside stories. And a Westerner got ahead of a hold of those and kind of amplified it to think that, you know, to exotify the whole region. And Heba Amin was interviewed on Sky TV, and the reporter asked her, what do you want the directors of Homeland to take from this? And she said, we're actually not using this as a teaching moment for Homeland. We're trying to talk about the representations of Arabs and Muslims, particularly since 9/11, and what they have done in the real world, you know, as like half of Muslim students in California alone experience bullying. Hate crimes against Muslims and Arabs are on the rise. I mean, what was it, last week or the week before, that there was a national call of protest against Muslims? And my friend said, since when are hate rallies called protests? I mean, universities actually told Muslim students to stay home because they were afraid for their safety. And that's just in the U.S. It doesn't take into account, you know, our military footprint abroad or how many lives have been stolen.
Let's talk about the other new show that is just on television that's being lauded for its representation of Arabs and South Asians. To be fair, it's just started. It's only been several, you know, just a handful of episodes. But Quantico by ABC, which features as its lead a Bollywood superstar actress, very well known in India, Priyanka Chopra, now starting to get well known in the United States. She plays a character, bizarre, named Alex Parrish, which I don't really understand that, but but she is an interesting, she portrays an interesting character that you have critiqued as well. Tell us what's wrong with Quantico.
Well, Quantico has taken kind of this idea of the Orient, and well, the idea of the Orient is it melds various regions in West, Central, and South Asian and kind of makes them one space. U.S. imperialism does that too, right, with Afghans and Iraqis and Iranians and Syria. They're all kind of the same people. They live in dusty streets. They're missing teeth. And, you know, it's just like very things that, yeah, that scare Americans. And so Quantico has kind of pushed the limits of the Orient to include India, which is something new. It's interesting that, they are doing some interesting things. For example, they have an Indian superstar. That's never happened in U.S. Television. They have an African-American woman who's leading the FBI Academy at Quantico. And she's openly talking about challenging glass ceilings. They're trying to, you know, deal with sexuality in fun ways. But in the last episode, there's been three episodes. the mother, so Alex, okay, she's named Alice Parrish because her father is white, which is an interesting thing because ABC tried to do a show last year called Alice in Arabia. They announced it on Monday and they canceled it on Friday because of social media. And the teenager who was going to be the protagonist was supposed to be mixed. She was going to have a white father and a Saudi Arabian mother. So I think it's really interesting that they've taken that on. I hope they do smart things with it. I have a hard time believing they will. But so she is set up to think she's all three stereotypes in one. That's another problem with Quantico. So she is a victim of her father's domestic violence. She's the ultimate patriot because she's trying to be an FBI agent. And yet she's the suspected terrorist of what they call the worst catastrophe since 9/11. There's a bomb that goes off at Grand Central Station in New York. And so in this last episode, her mother turns against her and ends up believing that she is the terrorist. And she says that after her father died, she sent her to India to stay with the mother's family for 10 years. And then she goes, but we only knew where she was for 9 of them. And so it's implied that, you know, for that year, like Alex was off, you know, in the woods or somewhere with scary terrorists, either in India or in nearby Pakistan, just kind of the whole, some scary corner of the Orient.
And so this theme that connects both Homeland and Quantico, which has been a popular theme in a movie, you know, movies and television shows in the United States, is that the threat within the homegrown terrorist, that whole idea of needing homeland security, this, you know, Orwellianly named government agency created after September 11th to protect the homeland from these terrorist threats, seems to be this common theme. And it, what that does is, of course, continues to perpetuate this notion that we should be looking at brown people in the United States with suspicion, and that any of them could be double agents, you know, people who went to visit their family last summer in Pakistan and ended up being converted to jihad and have come back to destroy the U.S.
That's exactly what is being said. And actually, in every episode, they say our biggest threat is from within. And so it has, what's interesting is, you know, Indian press is talking about this show, and they're saying, well, you know, the plot seems consistent with both most American television, which is they see themselves as the victims. And, you know, the white characters in Quantico are also victims. One is a Marine who, you know, has some post-traumatic stuff from what he saw. And there's a white woman whose parents died in the plane in 9/11. You know, so it's like everyone has kind of the sprinkled past, but the brown people are suspects for terrorists and the white people are like poor victims of the terrorism. So it's very closed representation. You know, people are talking about good or bad stereotypes, but you know, cultural critics are trying to get beyond that because the viewer's perception goes on to that. You know, like, for example, a common example is like a woman being a prostitute or a senator. Well, depending upon where you are, you might think one is good or one is bad, you know? And so we're trying to talk about like open representations, which is why I love what they did with the graffiti, because it's opening a dialogue and saying, hey, you need to imagine more than just, you know, this U.S. imperialistic story.
So the challenge that we face in the current landscape of Hollywood is that, first of all, there aren't enough roles for people of color, and certainly not for Arab Americans or Muslims or South Asians. And when they are there, they are limited and often stereotypical, as Quantico and Homeland have shown. What could Hollywood do, or how could Hollywood do better? I mean, should we demand that Hollywood create roles for people of color that are as varied and nuanced and interesting as they do for white people?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, the killing of Alice in Arabia last year, a lot of people called it a victory. But some folks like me and Dean Obidala, who's an Arab American comedian and critic, said, you know, I'm not sure this is the answer because it just closed it. Now there's no dialogue. There's no potential to do a story that would be interesting. I mean, an Arab American mixed teenager kind of coming of age is a story we need. The problem is that most Muslims and Arabs, and even now, you know, South Asians are shown in relationship to terrorism. So they're either the hate crime victim, like we said, or the patriot. Like, how about, you know, a nurse or a dentist or, you know, I don't know, everyday roles. Those are things that we need to see in stories that aren't related to this homeland question. So
it seems as though the bar hasn't moved very far since September 11th. We've been talking about anti-Arab racism. We've been talking about Orientalism since the time of Edward Said. And here we are decades later, you know, about a decade after his death. And we still have a landscape where not much has changed. And of course, our demographics in the U.S. keep changing, but Hollywood seems like it's stuck. Are young people just kind of not buying it anymore? And especially is social media now enabling people to call out these networks so fast that they're really finding that they have to be accountable or hopefully be accountable?
Yes, I think social media is a real change. And I love what these graffiti artists have done. I feel like we're on a brink of a change where producers at the least and writers, everyone in the room, are going to have to be more careful. And that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be more thoughtful. But I would like to see them be. And I think there is great potential.
Where can people read your writing, Stephanie?
They can go to my website at stephanieabraham.com.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure.
My guest is Stephanie Abraham, an Arab-American essayist, blogger, and cultural critic.